Today is the fourth Sunday in Lent, otherwise known as Lectare Sunday. Lectare is Latin, the Latin word for rejoice. The usual purple paraments and vestments meant to visually set a penitential mood have been replaced with rose-colored ones to lighten and lift our spirits. Today is an important reminder that joy does not take a season off, no matter what the circumstances. This particular Lenten season feels much longer than usual. It feels as though we have been in a COVID wilderness for even longer than the actual year. Fasting from the things we love most has been hard for every one of us. It has been excruciating for many, especially the sick and the vulnerable. Sickness and separation have wounded us, made us bone weary and depleted. Like the Israelites, we have been on a long, difficult journey, and we're anxious to get to the promised land. We, like them, cry out to get there quickly, because we need to be in each other's company. We need to sing again. We need to laugh. We need to drink from the common cup. The good news of today is that we do not have to wait until we get through to the end to experience the many graces and benefits that Jesus has brought to us by his victory over sin and death. These great benefits are ours right now. There is never a time when joy is excluded. Joy is a storehouse of hope and energy that heals, lightens, and transforms all our experiences. Joy can speed healing, comfort the grieving. Joy can add grace to our repentance and transform sorrow into hope. Joy can endure crises and enliven our celebrations. The source of this joy is most poignantly expressed in the Gospel of John, which Deacon Moore read so beautifully. Jesus, while talking to Nicodemus, who had come to visit him in the dark of night, proclaims, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life." The fundamental truth about God's relationship to the world is that God loves it. All of it. God made it from love, for love, and continues to love it. Leaving home the other day, I noticed a dingy yellow film covering my car. As I continued down the sidewalk, I felt a slippery dust under my shoes. And as my eyes were drawn downward, I noticed murky water rolling alongside me in the gutter of the street. A scratch came into my squinted eyes, and I sputtered out a shallow cough. Turning the corner, my eyes raised to meet a gorgeous tree in full yellow bloom. A few steps further, an even more glorious purple tree appeared to my now wide open eyes. Through the branches, I saw the bright blue morning sky. The cool morning breeze rustled through the palm trees and over my face. I could see and feel the beauty of God's creation, and I was filled with joy. What an amazing contrast in just a few steps. One moment consumed by discomfort and ugliness, and in the next moment by beauty and fullness. Not only did God make us, but God invested God's own self entirely in the work of his creation by becoming one of us, teaching, healing, and forgiving us, ultimately dying and rising again to show us the way. But though love is the first and continuous action of God toward us, Jesus in John's gospel says that we have a part too. We are to believe in order to be saved. I would like to propose on this Lotari Sunday that true, heartfelt acceptance of God's love through Christ constitutes our most sincere belief in Jesus Christ and activates joy within us. Show me a person who accepts the immense love that God has for them, and I will show you a joyful person. The true faith and real joy are simply two sides of the same coin. Yet often it seems we get distracted and diverted from our joy. We find ourselves not in the spirit of joy, but in something else. And it reminds me of my freshman year in college when I wandered into a classroom and took my seat one of the first days of class, and I looked over at the board and saw the teacher there writing what looked like Greek letters intermixed with numbers, with some in parentheses. The professor wrote lines and lines of this peculiar language until the entire board was filled up. When the professor began to speak, I could not understand a single word he said. I learned later that he was speaking calculus. I was in the wrong room. We can find ourselves in the wrong rooms, looking at the wrong things. In our Lenten series on forgiveness, we've been naming the attitudes and behaviors that separate us from God in the parable of the prodigal son. In the younger son, we see the part of ourselves that craves independence, rejecting the love of God. We seek out a design for our lives of our own making. Like the Israelites in the wilderness, we reject God's love. In the quest to service our unruly desires, we set off to find it in a shop, a bottle, on the internet, or in fantasy. Pleasure spent and exhausted, our bodies often bear the marks of being in the wrong room. The older son is even more pitiful, I think, because his mind invisibly bears the brunt of his sin, constantly seeking approval, endlessly judging others and himself. We perform tasks hoping, even expecting, that we will earn enough approval to be worthy, or better yet, superior. Bitterness is the typical wage for this sin. Self-loathing and self-righteous, the sons rejected the father's unconditional love, and it is no surprise that they were both joyless. Recognition that I'm in the wrong room is the crucial beginning. It is yet another of God's graces that we become aware of that fact. Yes, we need to admit our sins and repent, and that may take getting on our knees and bowing down. But grinding our faces in our sin is like continuing to stare down at the pollen while ignoring the bright, beautiful blooms above. Since God, through Christ, has already lifted us up to the heavenly places, let us lift up our eyes to behold the great treasures God has manifested in the world, and especially his glorious cross. And then let's feast on that joy that comes from accepting God's wondrous love. And then speak that joy back into the world.